Hosea tonight. More warnings about the future, and this time being even more specific about the coming captivity and wanderings as part of God's chastisement of his children, Israel. So here in Hosea chapter 9, verse 1, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will you do in the solemn day, and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they're gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver. Nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore he will remember their iniquity, he will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time, but they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves and to that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring fruit, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God will cast them away, because they did not hearken unto him. And they shall be wanderers among the nations." And that is my title, "They Shall Be Wanderers." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now in our hearts. Thank you that we can assemble on a Sunday evening and look into your word, and specifically the minor prophets, and just learn from Israel. May we learn tonight. So may the Holy Spirit speak to each of us and teach us. We give you this service and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So God made it very clear that Israel was sinning against him. He said there in verse 1, "Thou hast gone a-whoring." This is one of the themes of Hosea, is that God is a very faithful husband. Israel is a very unfaithful wife. Remember in the Bible, Israel is the father's wife. And in the church age, the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. And so God has those two separate relationships in Scripture. And so as we've seen that God is likening himself to a husband and Israel to a wife, but unfortunately a very unfaithful wife. And as he mentions there in verse 1, that they go a-whoring. And it says in verse 17, "My God will cast them away because they did not hearken." They would not listen to the prophets that kept coming and warning them about their upcoming chastisement, which was, again, because of their disobedience and their turning their back on the one true God. So verse 7, "The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come." These are prophecies that Israel will be visited by God, and they will face recompense for their sin. Go to Ezekiel 22, if you would, verse 31. And God, here as well, is prophesying he's prophesying about the actual captivity. So here in Ezekiel, even though it was still a prophecy at the time, it was a later prophecy about what had already happened in the captivity. Notice this is the fulfillment of that prophecy, verse 31. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed. So notice he says in Hosea, I will recompense. Here in Ezekiel, which was written during the captivity, he says, I've recompensed. And so the captivity and the wandering is the recompense, or the reward, if you will, for their disobedience, their chastisement. And God promises the same to Christians, as we've talked about, that he will always visit us if we need it. And if we refuse to listen, he will have to chastise us. So what's sad about it is if you go back to our passage, verse 7, it says, Israel shall know it. You've heard me say this before, but when God is chastising us, we know it. And when Israel was taken into captivity, it wasn't a mystery to them as to the why. We even read, like when Nehemiah prayed, and he said, Lord, please forgive us. We know that we deserve what we've gotten to this captivity. He said, please forgive us for all of our wickedness. And when a Christian is being chastised by the Lord, he doesn't all of a sudden say, oh, I wonder if this is chastisement. He knows it's chastisement. He knows that God is talking to him and speaking to him. And if you go to Ezekiel again, verse chapter 25 this time, again, God is saying that when they find themselves in the captivity, in the wanderings, they're going to know why. Notice Ezekiel 25:17, and I will execute great vengeance upon them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall lay my vengeance upon them. So they're going to know. When they're in captivity, they're going to know why. They're going to know who did it, and they're going to know the reason for it, and that was turning their back, whoring after other gods. And when a Christian turns his back on the Lord and tries to live in sin and not listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Lord brings that rod of chastisement down, they know. They know exactly what God is saying, and it's up to them how they choose to respond. They can respond with repentance, or they can get angry and go further. It's up to them. Because the Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Amen? Romans 8. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us when the chastisement is there and what the purpose is of that chastisement. And then we have a choice to make. Israel had a choice to make when they got into the captivities. So he said they will know it. So their days of recompense is coming. The days of visitation is coming. Notice verse 9. They've deeply corrupted themselves as in the day of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. This is not something we want. We don't want God to visit our sins. You know, the Bible says that we don't get what we deserve. Amen? If we did, we'd all be dead. And we'd all be going to hell. But even as a child of God, we don't get what we deserve, do we? Because God is so merciful and so gracious. Because we fail him every day. And if he punished us every single time we failed him, well, like I said, we'd all be dead, wouldn't we? So correction is part of God's love. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, and Proverbs chapter 3. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. This is God loving his children, just like when we chastise our children. It's love. And God is saying to Israel, I love you so much that as your father and as your husband, I'm going to have to give you what you need to bring you back to me, which is chastisement. You know, Jesus says in Revelation 3, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, Revelation 3:19. So we see here in this chapter that God says the days of visitation, the days of vengeance are coming. I remember their sin. I will visit their sins. In verse 12, this is a sad statement. Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. We definitely don't want to get to this point, do we? Where we just don't listen to the Holy Spirit, and then God says, I've had enough. And may have to bring in the big stick of death, which is the ultimate chastisement for a Christian. But what he's saying is sin separates. And we've seen this over and over here in the Minor Prophets. Sin separates. Isaiah 59, let's turn there. But when we turn our back on the Lord, it separates. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination, in Proverbs 28:9. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And notice here in Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. There it is. Iniquity separates. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin separates. Sin causes God to say, I'm not listening, and to hide his face from us. And that's what he's saying to Israel. You've continued to disobey. You've continued to seek other gods. You won't listen to my prophets. They keep warning. So the days of recompense and vengeance are coming, to where I withdraw my presence. And again, we don't want that. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit, quench not the Spirit. We don't want that. We don't want God to withdraw that controlling, guiding presence in our life through the Holy Spirit. But he's holy. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. And sin and holiness do not cohabitate, do they? And so verse 17, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken. So really the sin has been summarized here in kind of the beginning and the end. Verse 1, you've gone a-whoring. And verse 17, they did not hearken. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. What God wants from us is obedience. That is how we say I love you to God, by obeying his commands. And a Christian can be a wanderer too. He finishes there, verse 17, and they shall be wanderers. Let's go to Ezekiel again, verse chapter 34 this time. And again, this is written during the captivity. Remember, Ezekiel is one of the captivity prophets. And notice Ezekiel 34, verse 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Is that a sad statement or what? Now, they had a little tiny return under Ezra and Nehemiah, but it wasn't a national return. It was just a very limited number of people that went back and rebuilt the wall and rebuilt the temple. But this prophecy about them being wanderers, which was given by Hosea, it's still not over, is it? They're still everywhere. They're still wandering throughout the whole earth. They're still spread throughout nations around all the world. They're not all in Israel. A very tiny portion of them are in Israel. They're still wanderers, all because of their disobedience as a nation. They're still in that chastisement. And by the way, it won't be over until the end of the tribulation period, when they face the intense chastisement of God during that 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. But for us as Christians, go to Luke 15. If we continue to disobey God, we can end up wanderers too. And most of us know the story of the prodigal son, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But this prodigal son was a son. So he does not picture an unsaved person, does he? He pictures a saved person who's wandered away from God. And again, we won't read the whole parable, but verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. So what is he picturing here? He's picturing a Christian, a son who's wandered away from the Father, going out to live in sin, and hopefully will come to himself, amen, and come back to the Father like this one did and say, I've sinned against you, please forgive me, which he did. And what did the Father do? He forgave him, wrapped his arms around him, welcomed him home, gave him a ring. And that's the God that we serve, is it not? Always willing to show mercy, always willing to forgive, but always waiting for us to come back. And God has been waiting for Israel to come back for 2,500 years. Isn't that amazing? And after the conclusion of all the chastisement, they will. At the end of the tribulation, when there's only about a fourth of them left, they'll come back to God as a nation. He'll give them a new heart and they'll get their kingdom. But in the meantime, for 2,500 years, they've been wanderers. And they picture a believer, a child of God, who wanders away from God because of sin, because of going after the wrong things and not hearkening to God's word. God knows. God reaches out through his Holy Spirit, through his word. He continues to woo us and call us and say, return unto me, return unto me, just like he did with Israel. And Lord willing, that's exactly what we will do. If we don't, then we'll just keep wandering in the desert until God finally says, I've had enough. Hopefully, well, none of us will ever get to that point. If you're still alive, you haven't. Amen. But let's not be wanderers like Israel. Look at what God is picturing for us. Look what God is trying to teach us through Israel. 2,500 years of wandering. Think about it. For us, that sounds like a long time. For God, it's nothing. All because they wouldn't listen to God's word. He kept speaking through his prophets saying, come back, come back, come back. I love you. I'll forgive you. Just return. They said, no, we're going to keep running the other way. And therefore, they shall be wanderers. So what a great lesson. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this lesson.